Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims and joining us this morning, Lexi Trimble. Lexi's the development director of what's now known as St. Paul Children's Services. It's been a bit of a name change within the last year or two. We can go back over that just so everybody's up to date. But many visits that we've had with St. Paul Children's Services over the years. And Lexi, it's great to have you joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's glad to be here.
Don't forget, InFocus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and InFocus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Lexi, we always start off, and I don't know how many shows we've done with you, your executive director, development directors, doctors, and things like that. We always seem to start off our shows about St. Paul's with the story. Back to the 1980s, the little boy on the bicycle. And God, why don't you go ahead and get us up to date and tell us that story? Because that's how the whole thing started back in the early 1980s, I believe.
Yes, sir. So it was the early 90s.
Early 90s, okay.
With the neighborhood that we were in, just St. Paul's, the location that we're in, there were just so many gangs and drugs and just so many just issues going on within that neighborhood. And so the ladies of St. Paul United Methodist Church, one Sunday morning, they were going into church for a Sunday, and a little boy came up on his bicycle and stopped one of the ladies and asked if he was welcome into that church. And she, of course, was, you know, appalled that he felt that he wasn't invited into the church. And she said, well, yes, of course. And that's when all the ladies gathered together and they came up with the plan to have Wonderful Wednesday. And they wanted to provide the children in this neighborhood a safe haven from everything that was going on around them, to be able to come to church and learn more about the gospel and have fun activities and just hang out with their friends in like a safe environment. So that's whenever Wonderful Wednesday took place. And then they started seeing a need for food pantry and started seeing a need for medical clinic. And just as the years went on, they saw these different needs that these children had. And so they started pulling in different people from the community. And by 1996, we were our own 501c3, and we became St. Paul Children's Foundation. And we had a food pantry and a medical clinic. And after that, we just kind of expanded from there and took off.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Stone Soup fable. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are, but I think that that's a good metaphor for what has happened with St. Paul over the years. And you've already kind of covered this briefly, but let's just go over again briefly by name and maybe with a brief description, the different services that you offer. I think you mentioned the food pantry, which is going to be a big player in today's show, dental clinic, medical clinic, and that's just part of it right there.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, so our food pantry we have has definitely expanded over the years. We see all of East Texas in our food pantry. And we that is one of our services that is not limited to just children. Most of our services are pediatric. Our food pantry is open to all of the family. And then we do have our medical and dental clinic. Our medical clinic, we do have two providers. We have Dr. Valerie Smith and Dr. Danny Price. And then in our dental clinic, we have Dr. Brady Swinney.
Okay, and I believe you also have some other programs.
Yes, sir.
One of them is, and it's not up and going yet, I understand, the Foster Care Center, but that is kind of next on the list of things to develop, and we'll talk about that later in the show. Something called Khakis for Kids, which we can talk about, Andrews Park and Kid Field, which is a facility that is available to the public with the proper hoops that you have to jump through, and they're not very challenging hoops,
yes,
so I'm so kind of sorry I put it in those terms. But and then you have something called Virtual Shoes, providing athletic shoes for kiddos, and a counseling program that I believe has gotten up and going since the last time we did a show on St. Paul Children's Services. So lots to talk about this morning. As we do visit with Lexi Trimble, Development Director of St. Paul Children's Services this morning, I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. Let's get a little bit of contact information out there right now so folks will know how to find you. Your main office, and you have, you're kind of spread around the neighborhood.
Yes,
1358 East Richards, near St. Paul United Methodist Church. And the number, main number, is 903-595-5525. But if you go to the website, which is stpaulchildren.org, you can get all the information, different addresses and phone numbers for the different facilities that you operate. You can get updated hours for the food pantry, and you can also email at information@stpaulchildren.org. Let's get right to the thing that's maybe on front and center on your radar right now, and that would be the food pantry. And so, like everybody else, every other agency, every ministry, you've had to make so many adjustments during the pandemic. How has the food pantry specifically adapted to the coronavirus pandemic?
Yes, sir. It definitely was very challenging. Those first 2 weeks that COVID started becoming more cases in East Texas, and we have adapted to a drive-through pantry. So our clients, they stay in their vehicles, they go through the drive-through line, and once they get to the front of that line, we have a staff member that comes out. It's a very fluid process. Before, they'd have to go into the lobby, and they would check in, and it was kind of a process for them. It would take them a little bit of time to get some food just because of everything that we had to go through. Mm-hmm. Now they stay in their vehicle. We have someone come out with a clipboard, ask them a couple questions. It's very brief, and then we get them their food right away. And so we have a very fluid process going right now, because our numbers definitely spiked within that first month of COVID. And so we had to adapt very quickly and come up with the best possible solution.
Now, when people come to get their food, they have to observe the protocols. I'll bet you have hand sanitizer available, masking up, and maintaining correct social distancing, a lot of which is going to be accomplished, of course, by people being in their cars. And, of course, the people that work and volunteer for St. Paul have to observe those as well.
They do.
All right. Now, the number, you alluded to this a moment ago, the number of clients you've seen in the pantry since the start of the pandemic, do you have some figures on that, or can you just give us a ballpark?
I do. Yes, sir. I mean, so from January to today, we have seen over 3,000 new families. That's just the new families that we've seen. And last year as a whole, we saw 919 for the whole year of 2019. So that just shows you how quickly and within the first month of COVID, so about from March 16th to about April 16th, we saw 1,000 new families. And that, again, surpassed in 1 month what we saw an entire year last year. And that was just for new families. Mm-hmm. And so within the first month of COVID coming to East Texas, we also saw over 10,000 individuals in about a month, an average month for us. Before that, we were seeing probably about 3,500 individuals a month. And so it just skyrocketed those numbers, and we had to adapt so quickly. And yes, sir.
How did you adapt to that? I mean, that's must have been overwhelming for you and your staff and volunteers.
It was, yes, sir. Our food pantry coordinator, we worked very closely with the East Texas Food Bank, and so he worked with them on getting emergency food boxes. And so we had boxes that were already prepared. Before, when the clients were coming into our lobby, we had a choice pantry. So they got a list of food that was available to them, and they got to pick what they wanted. Now with this, you know, because we didn't have time, and with them staying in their vehicles, we worked closely with the East Texas Food Bank on getting emergency food boxes. And so we were able to already have them packed, and we were able to get them to the clients as quickly as possible. So we just, like I said, it just took us a couple weeks, but we started getting a very fluid process going, and it allowed us to move as quickly as possible.
All right. The pandemic is not going away anytime soon. We have to be very sober and sane about that.
Yes, sir.
But do you feel like, as far as your services are concerned, you've kind of begun to plateau and gotten into a new routine that everybody's gotten accustomed to? I'm sure it's still challenging for you, but still.
It is still challenging, I would say, for the staff and for the volunteers. However, I think everyone would be in agreement that we have, on our end at least, leveled out in terms of feeling comfortable with the routine that we have. So we are prepared to go as long as we need to with this. So, yes, sir.
Well, I hope we don't have to go too much longer, but we shall see. Yeah. Lexi Trimble, Development Director of St. Paul Children's Services in Tyler, is our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. St. Paul, located on the east side of Tyler, is just off Front Street as you're heading down towards the Loop. If you want to get a little bit of an idea, you're going to be making a left, and I forget what street that is.
But Clayton.
Clayton. And I think there's a sign that points to St. Paul United Methodist Church. So it's not too hard to find. 1358 East Richards, 903-595-5525 is the main number. Different phone numbers for the medical clinic and dental clinic, which you can get online, and that's stpaulchildren.org. You can also email information at stpaulchildren.org. So we talked about the clinics a little earlier, the medical clinic and the dental clinic, and I'm sure they've had to make some adjustments as well. How are they operating this year?
Yes, sir. Both of our clinics are taking the necessary precautions to ensure safety with the patients and the staff. Both of our clinics, they are sanitizing and cleaning their clinics constantly every single day, all throughout the day, to take all the necessary measures that they need to. Our dental clinic, for starters, their operatories, we have put air purifiers within the operatories, and we've also divided off the rooms in the dental for the restorations that are taking place. Our dental staff, they have protective gowns, masks, goggles, and gloves. Both clinics are following all CDC guidelines. Our medical clinic has actually separated entrances for sick and well, and they also have different rooms that are designated for the sick kids. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to keep them, each group, as safe as possible. And then we also have our staff in the medical clinic wearing their protective gear. And then if we do have a patient that comes and is showing COVID symptoms, we have our doctors meet them in the parking lot with their full protective gear on.
Okay. As far as your clientele, and I'm sure you're still serving the same basic clientele, low to moderate income people, and I understand, having interacted with your agency over the years, you really do offer a full range of medical and dental services to these kids, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and of course, you're always ready to refer them to specialists and other agencies if there are things that cannot be handled by the personnel in your clinic, if I understand correctly. Now, here's something real important. You don't turn anyone away in our clinics because of their inability to pay. How does that work exactly? I guess you do accept payment, but is there some kind of a sliding scale or other arrangements that you make?
Yes, sir. So we do accept several forms of payment: insurance, Medicaid, CHIP, private pay, and commercial insurance. And so we have children that are already on insurance, children that are not on insurance that come and see us. And so we do offer a wide variety of ways for children to be able to pay for their visits.
All righty. And before they make that visit, of course, they're going to want to make that phone call or shoot you that email. And are you still available for in-person consultation visits ahead of time? I know there's a lot of restrictions right now.
Yes, sir. We do have telehealth visits taking place, but we also provide a very safe social distance environment for children that are needing to come into our clinics.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if you have any questions, if you or your child needs medical or dental help, first thing to do is to get on the phone and just kind of set something up. And we'll go ahead and give those numbers out right now. The medical clinic number is 903-531-9455. Dental clinic, 903-593-7607. And you have 8 to 5 hours for both. 8 to 5 Monday through Friday for the medical clinic. 8 to 5 Monday through Thursday for the dental clinic. And while we're here, the food pantry has varying hours. Best thing to do is to go online if you want to know the hours of the food pantry, and that, of course, is stpaulchildren.org. How the providers are ensuring a safe place for the patients. I think we probably just went over that. I'm reading off my cheat sheet here, but anything that you care to add to that, or have we pretty well got that covered?
I do want to mention that one of our providers, our pediatrician, Dr. Valerie Smith, is on the Texas Medical Association's COVID-19 task force, which is incredible for our community, and it ensures us that we are getting the best possible precautions given to our patients, and also to our staff, the best advice from one of our very own providers on staff.
Mm-hmm. And people who have been listening to KTBB for a number of years, who are familiar with the In Focus show and who remember some of the shows we've done in the past with St. Paul's, they're going to remember Dr. Smith. I believe she was on the air with us once or twice. It's funny. I was reading some media from outside the community, and I saw a couple of mentions of Dr. Valerie Smith, and I thought, wow, can that be our Dr. Valerie? And sure enough, when you emailed me the information that we're using to build the show around today, I thought, I put two and two together. So that's really something to have someone of that caliber.
Yes, sir, I agree.
Range of knowledge and those connections.
Yes, sir.
As part of your fold. We are talking to Lexi Trimble, the Development Director for St. Paul Children's Services. And if you want to know whatever happened to St. Paul Children's Foundation, same thing. It's just now known as St. Paul Children's Services. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. And let's go ahead. We have several things that we want to talk about as far as financial support, ways that folks can get involved, and something really special coming up called the Foster Care Center. We want to talk about those later in the show. Now, we have discussed the medical clinic and the dental clinic and the food pantry, but there are some other things that are going on at St. Paul's that people need to know about. And with school just getting started back up, this one is real important. Khakis for Kids. Tell us how that works and how it went or how it maybe still is still going this year.
Yes, sir. So our Khakis for Kids program started in 2005, and so we have it. We have registration begin the week after school lets out. So right when summer begins, we start that registration. Parents start signing up. Now it did look a little bit different this year, just because of COVID and parents not being able to come into the lobby, and so we really had to get the word out there, because parents weren't able to be reminded as they normally do each year.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year though, we were still able to register over 600 kids, which was really significant given the little contact we were able to have with the families beforehand. We have our Khakis for Kids program, and if people are familiar with our virtual shoe drive, we've been partnering with KB&E. That just ended a few weeks ago. Virtual shoes is a part of the Khakis for Kids program. Children, if they are of school age, they receive shoes, socks, and underwear, and then they receive either a shirt voucher or a uniform voucher, depending on what their school requires. Some schools do not require either of those. We do partner with a local business here in Tyler, so it is locally sourced, and we are able to have that partnership with a local business, and they are able to give those children those shirts or those uniforms, which is a really great partnership that we have. The virtual shoes with KB&E helps us essentially stock up on those tennis shoes that we give out to the kids. We do ask whenever people do donate that they are new shoes that kids are able to wear to school, that they're closed-toed shoes, shoes that they're able to wear when they're out at recess or whatever that looks like. But yes, sir, like I said, we were able to provide shoes, socks, and underwear and the necessary vouchers for over 600 kids in our community this summer. So it was a pretty big deal, yes, sir.
Okay, and in my notes, which actually come right off the website, mm-hmm. July 16th was the last day for registration. I want to double-check that because, you know, with all the uncertainty and everything being in flux as far as getting back to school, that process of getting kids connected with virtual shoes and Khakis for Kids, that is now over for this coming school year.
Yes, sir.
Just in case anyone needed to know, but we can always look ahead to next year and hope that next year is a little bit more normal than what we keep calling the new normal. So very interesting information, Khakis for Kids and virtual shoes. Now you have something and have had for quite a while now. This is Andrews Park and Kid Field. It's a fenced pocket park that you say provides a safe place for neighborhood kids and families to come and enjoy the outdoors under shade trees and a covered pavilion. Now I'm sure that you've had to make some adjustments with that project due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Where are we now with Andrews Park and Kid Field? To what extent is that available, and have people been taking at least some advantage of that during this crisis that we've been having?
Yes, people have been taking advantage of that park. Even yesterday, we had a family just with school starting, and especially for the parents that have their children online instead of in school, a family brought her children for what she called recess time, brought them to the park and let them have their 10, 15 minutes. So we do have people taking advantage of our park. We actually had a summer program that was planned this summer, and I was the summer program director, so I had planned a whole summer program, and unfortunately, once COVID came to East Texas, I had to make that call of taking that program away this summer. But we still did partner with the East Texas Food Bank. We are one of the sites during the summer for the summer feeding program. So we were able to have children come all throughout the summer. Every day they came from 12 to 1 and received their food safely. They received a lunch for that day and a breakfast for the following morning.
Okay.
So the children were socially distanced, and they would take their lunch, and instead of staying and playing, we would have them leave and try to have very few contact with them.
All right. Now, on the website, and since this information is still posted on the website, we want to make sure that we're clear and making sure that everything is current and correct. Park rental is still available for birthday parties, baby showers, events of all kinds, so that's still going on, but people obviously have to take the COVID-19 precautions and protocols, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, we do have availability still, and we do have people that are running our park.
Okay, 903-595-5525 to schedule a date and place your deposit. Park can be rented for $50, and with return of keys, $25. is refunded if the area is left clean. So, folks, make sure and keep that park clean if you rent it. Lexi Trimble, our guest this morning on In Focus, Development Director for St. Paul Children's Services. I'm John Sims. Nice to have you with us this morning. Getting that contact information out again. The main number for St. Paul now, 903-595-5525. They're at 1358 East Richards. That's the main office, and spread really around the neighborhood surrounding St. Paul United Methodist Church, which, of course, is where it all began some 30 years ago. Go to the website for lots of information. That's stpaulchildren.org, and you also have that email address, information@stpaulchildren.org. Something that I believe has come into its own since the last time we chatted with somebody from your agency on In Focus, and that is your counseling program. That began in February of 2019, so it's now been going about a year and a half, but probably still new to a lot of our listeners. Tell us what that entails and how things are going with that so far.
Yes, sir. It is going well. If a child is needing counseling services, they have to be referred through our medical clinic. So we do ask first that they go see our pediatricians on staff. The pediatrician will refer them to our counselor. We are looking to expand our counseling services. As you mentioned earlier, we will be bringing the Foster Care Center of Excellence here to St. Paul Children's Services. Now, our start date has been pushed back because of COVID. We are looking to get that program up and running in just a couple of months. We are hoping to add a few more counselors to our staff, which will allow us to expand the counseling services that we offer, and we'll be able to collectively give the children several resources that are in one location, including the counseling services, the medical clinic, the dental clinic, and then their family able to receive food in our pantry.
Okay, let me kind of make sure I understand what you're saying. The counseling program began in February of 2019, and you're talking about some new components that are going to be coming on board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just basically additional staff and additional services. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I was clear on that because I know the next thing that we want to talk about is the Foster Care Center of Excellence that you are bringing to St. Paul's. And tell us about that. You have a pretty good idea, I understand, what you want to do, but still a little bit hazy, still some uncertainties. Tell us what you know about that right now and what people can look ahead to in the coming months as far as the foster care services.
Yes, sir. As mentioned a moment ago, we will be expanding the counselors that we have on staff. And for the Foster Care Center of Excellence, it is a trauma-informed medical home for infants, children, and adolescents in foster and kinship care. And then it will be staffed by medical providers with expertise in caring for children in foster care who provide comprehensive, coordinated, and care and collaborate with child welfare partners to ensure that children's needs are met. Yes, sir. So, like as mentioned before, we will be collectively offering resources that include food pantry, medical, dental clinic, and counseling services. Our hope is to have these foster children be able to come onto our property and be able to have all the needs that they have all in one place.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the foster care issue. I mean, we sadly, we've run probably countless news stories on the air and done programs with other agencies about the need for good foster care for these kids. Tell us a little bit about the issue and why you feel and your staff feels that it was so important for St. Paul to get on board with foster care.
Yes, sir. So each year, over 3,500 children in our region spend at least some time in foster care. 80% of these children have mental health needs, and 30% of these same children have a chronic health condition that is three times more than the general population.
Mm-hmm.
In order for our most vulnerable children to heal and thrive, they do need medical homes designed to care for the unique needs. We already have our staff and our clinics that are engaged and have gone through the trauma-informed care training. We do see this as a huge need within our community. And as you mentioned, we started our counseling service last year, we have seen that service expand, and we have seen where our one provider just was not enough for that service. She does an excellent job, but we are needing so many more resources for children in our community for mental health needs, and we just continue to see those needs.
It sounds like your counseling services were kind of almost a bit of a springboard, maybe more than a bit of a springboard for moving into the foster care arena.
Yes.
And just seeing those needs, seeing the kinds of needs that the kids had when they came in for counseling. Anything with regard to adoption? I mean, I know we don't want to look too far down the road, but of course, if foster kids can ultimately be adopted, I guess that's, you know, find forever families, as I've often heard it put. Is that something you're looking at further down the road? I'm sure it's crossed your minds, but any plans to maybe work with adoption agencies at this point, or is it too early to tell on that?
I would say it's too early to tell just from what the information that I've been given. We are looking to provide a safe experience for them when they come to their appointments for the day. But we are looking to partner with other foster care agencies around the area. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that is something that might come up at some point, but
I was just curious.
We have not discussed it.
Didn't want to put you on the spot, but the two do kind of go hand in hand in the best case scenario, so I didn't want to leave that out. So in the next few months, I believe you said you're going to hopefully have this thing at least up and going to the point?
That's our goal, is to hire a few more counselors by the end of the year and hopefully get that program going.
Okay, good deal. Financial support for St. Paul Children's Services. This is the part where we tell people how they can donate and ultimately volunteer, and you have a special event coming up that we're going to get to in a minute, but in the meantime, click the donation button on the St. Paul website. I guess this is the best thing to do, right?
Yes, sir. You can contact us through our website. We're, as mentioned before, the phone number, and someone up at the foundation would be more than happy to talk with you.
Okay. Lexi Trimble, our guest this morning, Development Director for St. Paul Children's Services in Tyler, 903-595-5525 is the phone number, and the website is stpaulchildren.org. And a special way that people can donate, and you've had to make some changes on this, and we want to make sure we get the word out about this, because there are going to be some updates on your website, I understand.
Yes,
originally, you had planned a For the Kids golf tournament for Friday, September 18th at the Cascades Country Club, but you've had to change your plans a little bit. Fortunately, it's not going out the window. What are the current plans as we speak for the kids golf tournament? It's going to be virtual this year, I understand.
Yes, sir. The current plan is to make it a virtual golf tournament. We want to protect all of our players and all of our staff and volunteers that will be there. So this year, given everything that has gone on, we have decided to move it to a virtual tournament. And so we are currently in the works of getting our website updated. I do encourage you, if you are interested in sponsoring our tournament, to check out our website in a couple of days, and we'll be getting that word out there. And also look for us on social media. We will be keeping everyone updated. But we will be continuing this virtual tournament till the very end of September. And you have the option to be able to go online, click the tab. It will be golf tournament, and it will allow you to be able to select a sponsorship or any other amount that you're looking to donate in order to be a part of our tournament.
Mm-hmm. And this all gets rolling at the beginning of September and runs for the entire month. Is
yes,
that
sir.
Correct? Well, that's one advantage. It was a one-day thing before, and now it's 30 days half September. So, you know, I guess another case of making lemonade out of lemons. Platinum sponsor, $5,000. Diamond sponsor, $3,000. Gold sponsor, $2,500. Those numbers are still going to be intact, right? And, of
yes.
course, people can give any amount they want. And that is the For the Kids Golf Tournament. Go ahead and check that website for any updates. They could come at any time on the website at stpaulchildren.org. Other ways that you can get involved, and let's start with, I know you use a lot of volunteers.
Yes.
What kind of volunteer opportunities do you have, and how do people get signed up as volunteers?
Yes, the biggest volunteer opportunity that we have is in our food pantry. We are always looking for able bodies that are able to help deliver the food out to the clients or be back in the pantry putting the food in the boxes. There's so many different roles that you can play within our food pantry, and that's one of the biggest areas that we have for volunteers.
Okay. Is there a volunteer coordinator? Or is
yes. There is a volunteer coordinator, Wyatt Bynum. We do have a good email address for him, wyatt@stpaulchildren.org. So if you are interested in volunteering, I do encourage you to reach out to Wyatt.
All right. Very good. We have just a little over a minute left in the show. We've been talking to Lexi Trimble, Development Director for St. Paul Children's Services. Let's see just a little bit about you. You've been on board as Development Director for how long now?
Yes, sir. I started working for St. Paul's April of 2019, and then I started as Development Director this past January. So
okay.
It's still very new to me.
Didn't take you too long to move up in the ranks. And I know that St. Paul just has an excellent reputation around the community. I'm sure that you're very glad and I would imagine quite fulfilled to be doing this kind of work for an agency that started with a little boy on a bicycle about 30 years ago. Lexi Trimble, Development Director for St. Paul Children's Services in Tyler, has been our guest this morning on In Focus. We'll just kind of remind you again quickly of the For the Kids Golf Tournament. Not September 18th anymore. It's virtual. It's coming up during the entire month of September, so keep that in mind. And go to the website, stpaulchildren.org, for updates about anything we talked about today. Lexi, thanks so much for joining us, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Lexi Trimble, St. Paul Children's Services, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.